In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, because we must all appear before the judgment throne of Christ, and because we must not be found in sin when he returns, and above all, because he himself has shed his blood to grant us pardon and to seal us for that day, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to him and to plead for the mercy he himself has bought for us.
Lord Jesus Christ, our judge and our redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Therefore, we flee to find refuge in your holy wounds, looking and pleading for your grace now and on the day of judgment. Merciful Savior, you bore our judgment on the cross to save us from damnation. Have mercy on us, and forgive us all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you, and of your will, and true obedience of your word, so that we may await your coming with joy, stand before you without fear, and by your grace alone, enter with you into the endless world to come. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
With his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth.
The home of righteousness.
O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days.
Let me know how fleeting I am.
Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths.
And my lifetime is as nothing before you.
And now, O Lord, for what do I wait?
My hope is in you.
Deliver me from my transgressions.
Do not make me the scorn of the fool.
Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears.
For I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers.
Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, merciful Father, you have appointed your Son as judge of the living and the dead. Enable us to wait for the day of his return with our eyes fixed on the kingdom prepared for your own from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among the sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. He is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
O come, let us sing to the Lord.
Let us make a joyful noise to him, our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving.
Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God,
and the great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth.
The heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it,
and his hands formed the dry land.
O come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For he is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He is our God,
and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the 15th chapter. Brothers, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. As the lightning flashes from east to west, the Son of Man will come in his Father's glory with his holy angels to reward everyone according to what each has done. He will come like a thief in the night. One will be taken and the other left. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The skies will disappear with a roar. The elements will disintegrate in the heat, and the earth and everything on it will be burned. I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet call and gather his chosen from the four winds. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I believe in the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We will all stand before Christ's judgment seat. Each of us will give an account of himself to God.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels."
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world."
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
He will change our lowly bodies to be like his own glorious body. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
We look for new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom, and we shall be with the Lord forever, whose kingdom will have no end.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Great, we confess, is the mystery of our faith. Jesus died.
Jesus died.
Jesus rose.
Jesus rose.
Jesus will come again.
Jesus will come again.
I believe in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Christ. From the Gospel reading, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is our text. As human beings, we constantly make judgments. Daily life is filled with judgment making. Some of them are judgments about large, important, and life-changing sorts of things. Should I take this job? Can I trust this person? Others have to do with matters that are small or trivial. This shirt or that shirt? Chinese or Italian for dinner? Every opinion we form and every decision we make involves a judgment of some kind. Judgment about people, about places, about things. We even describe individuals as having good judgment or bad, depending on whether their judgments are wise, well-reasoned, and truthful or not. It's easy to be mistook in our judgments. It's easy to make mistakes about how we judge others and ourselves and the times in which we live. This is one of the reasons we should take seriously the Eighth Commandment. When God says, "You shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor," we are to put the best construction on everything and to explain everything in the kindest way. Because making an accurate judgment of life as it happens is really, really hard. That's one of the chief dangers of trying to understand history while you're still living it. First impressions aren't always the most accurate or the most discerning. Maybe the evidence we have is limited. Maybe we're using the wrong criteria. Maybe we're too close to the thing that's going on to get a good perspective. You know the saying, we've missed the forest for the trees. Time and distance have a good way of revealing things that aren't visible in the particular moment. I think this applies to our time as well. Whatever we think today about the coronavirus pandemic or the 2020 election, time and distance will probably change the way we think about these things. We won't see them in the same way in the future. People turn out to be different than we thought. Places aren't what we remembered them to be. Things are different than they seemed at the time. And even the judgments of history often turn out to be wrong. So all of our judgments, the human judgments made by sinners, all of them are provisional. All of them are temporary. All of them are subject to being revised. That includes even our best judgments. What we see now, what we think now, isn't necessarily what it will look like in the end. We're bound by the time and place in which we live. Or you might say, if life is a narrative, if it's a story, we're stuck in the middle. We can't see the whole thing. But there is another perspective on all things, including on us. There's the perspective of the king whose judgment is true and just, the king who sees all things as they are and sees all things in light of eternity. And when I say all things, I mean all things. Not just the big things like the pandemics and the elections, but he sees the medium things and the little things too. Like the cup of cold water given to the one who thirsts, or the diaper changed on the helpless infant or adult, the hand extended in welcome to the stranger, the prayer whispered for the person in need. He sees all those things too. So beyond our judgments, there's his judgment on the world and his judgment on our lives and our works and his judgment on the lives and works of all people. When Jesus taught the apostles, he also taught them about the end, the last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Now, together with all the churches that confess the Augsburg Confession, we believe that at the end of the world, Christ will appear for judgment and will raise all the dead. He will give the godly and elect eternal life and everlasting joys, but he will condemn ungodly people and the devils to be tormented without end, which is simply another way of saying what we heard in the reading today. When the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And the sheep he will send into the kingdom prepared for them from before the foundation of the world, and the goats will be sent into the everlasting fire. We should be clear that this is not a parable. This is not a story that Jesus is using to teach some truth about himself. This is a future event described in apocalyptic end times language. An event that will bring the curtain down on this age when heaven and earth will pass away. And I don't know about you, but as I think about that time, I say, oh, let the veil be parted. Let the curtain come down. Come, Lord Jesus. He will make the final judgment, the divine, eternal judgment. For this king sees things that we can't see. All things are open to him. Every heart is known to him. Every mind is revealed to him. Nothing is hidden from his sight. His judgment isn't like our judgment. Our judgment is limited and narrow, but his judgment is wide. He has all the facts. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered by him. He sees the whole forest, and he knows every single tree that's in it. So the only judgment that matters at the end is his. Not yours, not mine, not anyone else's. Have no fear of them, Jesus says. Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. We spend far too much time worrying about how others will judge us, but whatever judgment they make isn't final and it isn't eternal. That kind of judgment is reserved for our King. And our King will come. He will sit on his glorious throne. He will judge the nations. But you know him. You know this King. You know who he is, and you know what he's done. You know him because he's made himself known to you. He's made himself known to you in Holy Scripture, and he's made himself known to you in the Holy Sacraments. And he isn't going to change into something different when he comes again in glory. He is exactly as he has revealed himself to be. He is who he says he is. The judgment of Scripture is true. We do not read one thing about Jesus in the Scriptures only to find out something different about him in the end. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the one sitting on the throne is no stranger, though many misjudged him when he was here. Just think about how he was judged in his life. The Pharisees and the scribes, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, the chief priests and Pontius Pilate, they all were mistaken in their judgments of him. They judged him to be a blasphemer, a lawbreaker, a temple destroyer, one worthy of death. And not just any death, but the worst possible kind of death, death by crucifixion. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, knows what it is to stand in the dock. He knows what it is to be judged. He knows what it is to be condemned. He has the scars to prove it. He's been through hell, and he wouldn't wish that on anyone. Indeed, the eternal fire, as he calls it, was never intended for people at all, but for the devil and his evil angels. So when King Jesus comes again in glory, when we stand before his throne, it won't be to give everyone exactly what they deserve. To do that would be to act as though he had never been crucified, dead, or buried, as if he had never borne the sins of the world. What we deserve has already been suffered by him and borne by him on the cross. No, when Jesus comes again in glory, he will not judge on the basis of works, but of faith. Faith in him. Faith alone saves. This is our confession. It's true now, and it's also true at the end. Those who trust in Jesus won't be left hanging. You're not going to show up before his throne and say, "I thought faith alone saved," only to find out that it's different. It won't be. Your faith is not in vain. And yet, what we see in the reading today is that faith is also never alone. Faith is living and active. Faith is busy doing all kinds of things, busy listening to Jesus, busy thinking about others. One thing it's not busy doing is thinking about itself. A good tree doesn't think about being a good tree. It doesn't bother making any judgments about itself at all. It just soaks up the sun and the water and bears good fruit. The same is true of sheep. They don't go around making judgments of themselves or of others. They just listen to the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him, and they graze here and there and everywhere. They follow him. That's what sheep do. And he leads them into green pastures, and he leads them beside still waters, and he leads them through the valley of the shadow of death, and he leads them into life eternal. O sheep, trust the shepherd to be your judge. Fix your hope and your hearts on him. For this is the judgment that Jesus will make when he comes again in glory. He will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate the believers from the unbelievers. He will separate those who listen to his voice and follow him from those who merely pay lip service while despising his word and following liars. He knows his own. He knows you. He shed his blood for you. And so it's to you that he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." And that's when we'll find out just how badly we've misjudged the sheep. Because Jesus sees things that the sheep haven't seen and can't see. Jesus sees all their poor little deeds of mercy that we missed completely in this life. "For I was hungry," Jesus says, "and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." When did we do all that? How did we miss all those things? Because our judgments are limited. But he judges eternally. Because those who do such things, the sheep who follow Jesus, aren't looking at their own works, and they aren't trusting in their own works, but they are simply looking to him. They've got their eyes fixed on him. "Truly I say to you," Jesus says, "as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Or another way of saying all of this is simply to confess what we just confessed a few minutes ago. When Jesus comes again in glory and sits on his glorious throne and judges the living and the dead, we will not plead our works, but we will plead his death. We will say, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting." Christ sees the things we don't see. He sees all the works done in love for him, no matter how small they are. We don't need to focus on those, but to focus only on our Lord and on his works for us, to cling to Christ and the kingdom that he promised, the kingdom that he has long prepared for you, because in him you have eternal life. He is your hope of glory. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever you may think about the judgment to come, whatever judgments you have made of yourself or others in this life, set those things aside. Trust not in your judgment, but trust in his. And trust in what the judge of the world has done for you by his life, his death, and his resurrection. In the end, the only thing that matters and the only thing that will last is his evaluation of all things, whether they be pandemics and elections, things present or things past, your life and your works or the life and the works of others. You will be what he declares you to be. Not a goat, but a sheep, listening to his voice and following him here and into eternal life. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. For the faithful proclamation of Christ our King, and for the strengthening of God's people in this true faith and their baptismal life in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christ's holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, for all who faithfully confess the saving name of Christ, and for the protection of the Lord to extend over us against the devil, the world, and our own sinful selves, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our congregation, for the mission and work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit, cooperation and harmony in our life together, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who have wandered from the flock of God, for the faithful shepherds who gather them in through the voice of God's word, for our forgiveness, and for our willingness to forgive others in Christ's name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a right reception of the true body and blood of Christ, for grace to use well what we receive here in Christ's name, and for the day when no division of doctrine and faith will hinder our communion together at the Lord's altar, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our president, our governor, and all in authority over us, that they may not abuse the trust and power placed in their hands, but use it honorably and for the good of all people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For nations that are in turmoil, especially the people of Armenia and Azerbaijan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, and the Tigray region, that the Lord would defeat the plans of all who stir up violence and strife, destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed, and conflicts and bring peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For all artists and artisans, for science and invention, for those who serve us in the medical arts, for tradespeople and laborers, for those who serve and protect us as police, firefighters, and military personnel, and for the residents, staff, and administrators of all nursing homes, care facilities, and group homes, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in disaster relief, and for the social service agencies of our church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For lives of generosity, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church, to fulfill the Lord's bidding and spread the gospel to every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
with thanksgiving for the birth of Josephine Rose to John and Stephanie,
for the safety and health of mother and child, for baby Josie to receive soon the gift of holy baptism, and for all mothers with child, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. For those afflicted by illness of body or mind, and for those who care for them, and especially for those who have requested our prayers, Rick and Patty, Mary, with thanksgiving for her recovery, Michelle, Luann, Rich, Carol, Kurt, John and Patty, Dan and Richard, that with God's strength they may be kept through patience and be delivered to everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the grieving, that they may have hope, and for those near the end of their earthly lives, that they may be sustained in faith to everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we here remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done, and on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Take ye the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace. Take ye the body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith through our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.